to the Razz Ball Basketball Podcast. This is Viz, and we're joined by the new man in charge of the basketball scene at Razz Ball, Son. Son, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Viz. Nobody beats the Viz.
glad to have you on for the first time. And, man, we got a lot to talk about. It's been the craziest offseason I can remember, at least since LeBron left Cleveland to go to the Heat the first time. Let's start things off with Chris Paul going to the Rockets, which kind of came out of left field. There was a lot of talk that he might leave. The Spurs were interested. The Rockets were interested, but the Rockets seemed to make a push for everybody. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Rockets had a sign and trade deal, and he was going to the – Paul was going there for Beverly Lou Williams, a first-round pick, Montrezl Harrell, Sam Decker, and a bunch of random contracts they got. Paul's been a perennial first-round pick in fantasy for years. Yes, there are injury concerns, but, you know, the points, assists, great field goal percentage for a point guard. What do you think about the fit with him next to Harden?
I think it's going to be fine. You know, all that talk they've been talking about, you know, they're going to stagger their minutes. So, you know, one of those guys are always going to be on the floor. You know, the pace that they play at, it's just – it's great. It's a fantasy goal,
yeah, for sure.
You know, and I think Harden, you know, he is a great spot up shooter. So, you know, Paul, when they're both on the floor, you know, Paul's gonna be the main guy, and you know, he's just gonna break things down. And I think Harden's gonna get a lot of cheapies, a lot of open looks. You know, I just keep thinking back, you know, to the D'Antoni Suns with Nash. You know, I really can see, you know, health permitting. You know, Paul has the potential, you know, to have an MVP caliber season.
Yeah, I can't really disagree. I can't decide on their fantasy values, because on one hand, say Harden certainly isn't going to lead the league in assists again, but he's also not going to have the most turnovers in the league either now.
That's
true. His field goal percentage is probably going to go up a bit. Points might too, because he might just get some easier baskets. It's going to be real interesting to see. It might take a little bit of time to get used to it, but at the end of the day, they're two superstars. They're going to work itself out. And, you know, I actually think a big winner in this is Clint Capella. Now, he's a guy you're going to have to punt free throws with, but
right,
the amount of easy baskets that DeAndre got, he was getting them with Harden already, but now it's going to be even easier. I mean, they run a pick and roll on the left side of the floor with Paul and, say, Ariza. It doesn't work. They flip it to the right side. Now you have, you know, Harden and Capella, it's going to be ridiculous. And
definitely,
I don't expect them to have the best offense in the league. It's probably still going to be Golden State, but they won't be far behind.
I agree. It's going to be crazy. I mean, you know, just the spacing that they're going to have, the seams.
Right.
You know, I guess what one of the things that people were talking about of why they brought in CP3 was because he's one of the, you know, the best mid-range shooters, you know, in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, pretty much what the Spurs exposed them in that aspect, you know, basically
right,
daring them to shoot that. So, you know, back to your Capella thing, you know, not only is he going to get a lot of cheapies on the, you know, the pick and roll and the lobs, but also, you know, he and Paul on the pick and roll, Paul shoots a little mid-range, those rebounds, those opportunities are going to be there as well.
Yeah, definitely true.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, it's a... Here's a little rant of mine. Yeah, I was thinking about this past weekend, actually. You know, I heard a lot of people saying that they don't like the current environment, like, you know, the stacked teams and, you know, superstar, you know, teams and top-heavy teams and things like that. Like, personally, I think it's great. It's great for the game. You know, not only do you see greatness because these teams are, you know, filling their cupboards with the best players available, but I think a side effect of that is that other teams, they have to compete, right? It forces them to make moves. It forces them to elevate their games to try to match, which I think makes the league even better.
Right. It's good to see. Like, I see both sides of it. Like, I'm a Jazz fan, and they just lost, at worst, their second best player or best player, Hayward, who we'll get to later. But at the same time, you know, Golden State makes this unreal team, and you have all these teams pushing to go after them. Look at what Houston, what the Thunder have done. Are they to that level? Probably not, but it's not like every team is just caving in and letting Golden State win. And while the playoffs weren't exciting until the finals, and even they were kind of ugly to a bit, the ratings were through the roof. So if that's what people want to see, you know, these amazing teams, then, you know, good for the league. The money's going to keep coming in. Cap's going to go up. Everyone's going to get paid. And
for sure.
You know, that's what the league wants.
I agree.
It's a business. So let's go to Jimmy Butler now. That was a trade that I just didn't understand at all from Chicago's perspective, giving up Zach LaVine, who had a very good year until he blew out his knee, Chris Dunn, who looked awful, to be blunt, and the seventh pick, who ended up being Lauri Markkanen. And they gave up the 16th pick back, too, which I didn't really understand why they had to do that, but that's besides the point. So now, you know, the Wolves trade Rubio and bring in Teague now. So you're looking at a starting lineup probably of Teague, Wiggins, Butler, Gorgui Dieng, and
they got Taj Gibson.
I'm gonna say, right? I think they'll start Jang.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought Taj off the bench in Chicago too.
Yeah. But I think so too.
So it's an interesting team now because their talent is through the roof, and on the other hand, their best 3-point shooter is probably Towns. Like they're not.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to be a team where they end up taking their turns on offense, and it's not going to have great flow to it. Now, that's not to say it's going to hurt Butler's value or Towns' value. We might see a downtick in Wiggins. He's a guy who I don't particularly love for fantasy. It's a lot of scoring, but not much else. And I'm not sure it's going to get any better now. I guess if he's the one going against shooting guards, he can post them up pretty easily. That is one of his strengths, is he can get that shot. But I don't know. I mean, Towns was an absolute monster to finish the year, and Butler is going to get his. And he's going to get his shots up too. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out there. I don't know what you're thinking in terms of those guys' fantasy value. I mean, to me, Towns is, you know, the front end to the middle part of the first round. Butler's probably a second round guy for I don't even know where Wiggins and Teague would be, the 50s to me. I don't know. I'd have to work it out, but it's a team with a ton of potential, and they need, you know, they still need Towns to take that step defensively for them to really have a chance to push to like the 5 or 6 seed this year. I mean, a lot of people are just assuming that, but they did only win 31 games last year.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. The funny thing is I hear a lot of people, you know, saying, or they would take Karl Anthony Towns with the overall number one pick in fantasy. I don't know, you know.
That's a bit too much.
Yeah,
I mean, it's,
I agree.
I don't think he's too far off. I mean, to me, though, I'm kind of convinced on Giannis first, which might be a bit crazy.
Oh, I'm the same with you. I think Giannis is number one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, and then it's probably for me Curry, Durant, in some order with Harden there.
Yeah.
And then in the tier after that, it's probably Westbrook, Towns, and Davis, something along those lines, debating, you know, do you want to punt turnovers right off the bat with Westbrook and crush everything else?
Right. Well, you know, in terms of Harden and Westbrook, I actually think Harden comes down a little bit. And obviously, I think Westbrook comes down too. But in terms of turnovers, I think he's going to be more efficient because now he has George and he has who'd they get? P.J. Tucker?
Patrick. Or no, Tucker went to Houston. They got Patrick Patterson.
Patrick Patterson, that's
who's
right.
Who's actually a really nice fit for them.
Yeah,
power forward.
So he's going to stretch the floor. So there's going to be more space for him. So I would actually put Russ ahead of Harden.
I think you're right. No, you talk it out. I mean, like you said, close. Harden's going to lose some assists to
for
Paul,
sure.
too.
For sure, that usage. Yeah.
I mean, that's another trade that was just a complete fleecing. I didn't really understand. You know, all the talk about them wanting a Brooklyn pick or they want to get Jaylen Brown, and then all of a sudden they flip him out for Victor Oladipo and Sabonis, and you had to assume Indiana was going to get better than that.
You would think so.
I know he's only a rental, but still.
I think that's the thing, the rental and all the misinformation. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff that, like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, we're, you know, this team was offering this and they were offering these picks. But how serious were those offers really?
Right.
You know what
No,
I'm
for
saying?
sure.
So,
I think it was Woj reported that
yeah.
Boston didn't really make, they didn't have a standing offer at the end or anything.
So,
Yeah, so
yeah.
they exaggerate to make it not look bad on their
Yeah,
end,
for
for
sure. For
sure.
sure.
I mean, George, he had the big controversy after the first playoff game when CJ Miles took the shot and he said, "I need the ball at the end." Westbrook's not giving up the ball at the end, I don't think. So it'll be
Nah.
interesting to see how that works out. But I don't see George's value changing too much with this. I mean,
Yeah.
he's gonna be a high steals guy, solid, elite free throw percentage with the volume, good steals. He's solid across the board. He's a nice glue guy for fantasy. The one interesting guy to me in this is actually Miles Turner because he's got to be their number one option now. I know they've got Oladipo. They signed Darren Collison to be a stopgap point guard, I guess. But Turner was already like a borderline second round pick in my mind
Yeah,
with,
he's a beast. He's a beast.
yeah, I mean, the blocks combo. And now you might be looking at a guy maybe averages a three a steal and over 2 blocks a game with the field goal percentage. Now, field goal percentage is probably going to have to drop because his volume is just
Right.
going to go up with
For
George
sure.
gone. But yeah, I think, if you end up with one of those point guards in the first round, he might be the guy in the middle of the second round to pair him with so you can hit all the categories.
Yeah, I'm with you. My one concern on him was, I mean, granted, he's so young, and but he was very inconsistent. So do you
For
think just with
sure.
the volume, the increase in volume, that that's kind of level out everything for him?
I mean, I'm sure he's a guy who it'll probably end up being better in roto leagues and head to head because he's just going to have some weeks in head to head where he's going to have a 4 for 17 game in my
Yeah,
mind.
for sure.
But at the end of the year, it's probably going to work itself out. It's hard to say. I mean, the whole East, they're Indy's not going to be a good team, but how many good teams are there really in the East? And they're going to have a bunch of. How many teams are they really going to get blown out against? It's not going to happen often, especially considering Cleveland rests their guys all the time.
Yeah, true.
So, Indy, they're going to be in games. And again, you get to the middle part of the second round, and a lot of people like to pair a big with the point guard they took in the first round. And in that range, whether it's a guy like Gobert, if he's still there, or a Draymond or a Turner or even a Whiteside, if you want to go that route. Those are the kind of guys I would be looking at in that, or even Jokic, if you wanted to go there, who we could
He's so
talk about
good.
too.
I love him. He's so
He's unreal. And I, and
good.
being a Jazz guy, I love Millsap too. And I just think their fit together is perfect.
Definitely.
They get Millsap for 3 years, $90 million, but the third year is a team option, so
I
they're
saw
really only
that.
locked into
Yeah,
him for
two
2 years.
years. Yeah.
A lot is going to be on Jamal Murray's shoulders. He's a guy I really like if it can all pan out, but. That team's got a lot of depth now. I mean, you're still going to have Wilson Chandler and Barton coming off the bench. Maybe Moutier can finally put something together, but if not, then you got Jameer Nelson as a backup point guard.
Yeah, Hernan
You got
Gomez,
what's that? I know that's the one thing that upset me about Millsap going there is Juancho's minutes are probably only
Juancho,
going to be in the teens now, but he is a guy like too. I mean, they got Trey Lyles from the Jazz who
I saw
had a
that.
bad second season, but
Yeah.
his rookie year he showed a lot of promise. So
Yeah.
they got a ton of guys. I mean, Malik Beasley, you can go on and on. They
Yeah,
have
they do.
so much ammo. I mean, you would think if Indiana would have called them, they could have gave them a better deal for George with their 13th and 14th guys off the bench, basically. But
Yeah, no,
I mean,
definitely.
Millsap, he took a slight step back last year. He is a bit older now, but he's still a guy who's over a three, a block, and a steal a game easy. He's not going to hurt your free throw percentage. Solid rebounds. He's good at everything. The assists are solid for a big guy. He's not really going to hurt you anywhere. And Denver's a team who, they missed the playoffs and they've missed the playoffs for quite a while now. I'm kind of expecting them to get back in it this year.
I agree, and the pace that they play at is just—it's just lovely. So Millsap's gonna
Yeah.
fill up the stat sheet, just
I
pretty
mean, he's
much any
another guy who's
category.
been a second round pick for a while, and he probably should be again. Now, it's a little risky because he did miss some time this year.
Yeah.
Looking at it now, yeah, he played 69 games, so he missed 13 games. And but like you said, that pace because they wanted teams to play in the altitude at a faster pace than
Yeah.
they're used to. again, the West is a bloodbath, so there's so many teams that are trying that are good that they're not going to get any cakewalks. I don't see as many blowouts as in the past, and especially with the talk now that the league is going to put a better focus on not giving teams those schedule losses where they're playing their fourth game in 5 nights against a team who's been resting for 3 days and so forth. So it really is. You know, and they wonder why these teams were arresting guys all the time. They get upset about it. Well, if you make the schedule a little better, you wouldn't really have to worry about it. Gallo's gone, but I mean, it's probably for the best. I don't think they could afford to have Gallo with Jokic. I mean, as much as I love Jokic right now, he's such a liability defensively.
Yep.
So, you know, putting Millsap next to him for some extra rim protection is nice. God, they're going to be so fun to watch. I mean, just Jokic in general. You know, just the way he moves the ball. I can't remember a big man passing like this, honestly. Like, he makes he makes Marc Gasol look like a shitty passer in my mind, which is nuts. I mean,
Do you remember Sabonis?
He's before. I mean, I've seen clips, and I remember him barely
as
a kid.
He was awesome. He was like that.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
Hey, I wanted to go back to something that we were talking about earlier before I went off the tangent. Back to Minnesota.
Okay.
Wiggins is just not a good fit for that team. You know? I mean,
I can't disagree.
Yeah. I mean, he's so young. He has such trade value. I mean, they should trade him.
Yeah, I don't know what they could get, but I would certainly be open to it. I mean, he can sell someone on him easy. I mean, he scored 23.5 points a game. He got up to 35% from three, which is
passable.
It's
good
enough,
right?
Yeah. No, I mean, again, when you got Butler next to him and, you know, your power forward, whether it's Jang or Taj, isn't going to be able to shoot three as well. So I'm kind of with you. The upside is unreal. I don't think we're ever going to see that from him defensively.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe it's a little better going against shooting guards instead of Butler can take the tougher matchups.
That's true. That's a good point.
And for fantasy, I mean, Tibbs plays his guys such ridiculous minutes
you know what you're getting.
Right, exactly. And that's a good thing for Towns and Butler and Wiggins. All those guys, really, Teague. So
I'm fading Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the best. Like, his rookie year, I had some stock. I don't think I had him anywhere last year. And again, if you're only getting 2 assists, a steal, half a block, maybe 4 rebounds, maybe it's just, what are you getting? It's blank scoring, really.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, if you end up with a team, I'm trying to even think of an example because everyone who goes in the first round scoring crazy, but say you ended up with Draymond in the second round.
Okay.
And another guy later on who's not a volume scorer. Maybe I could talk myself into it, but I just see him as a guy who someone's going to reach for because he scored 23 points last year. And again, I don't see that happening again with Butler and Towns. I think Butler probably will be the first option, even though I think it should be Towns. Either way, though, Wiggins is being the third guy, and it's something I'd want to watch. You know, if I don't draft him, I want to see how it works for the first few weeks.
Right.
Because, you know, if he's getting easier matchups, maybe it does work out all right. But again, what's his best case? It's not that great. It's points and, you know, a field goal percentage that's not going to hurt you. You know, if you shoot 45% with, 1.3 threes a game last year, that I can be all right with. But it's a below average free throw percentage for a wing too. So it's not great for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. They should trade him.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think someone would give him a lot, too.
Yeah. I think his value's high because, you know, everyone's so enamored with that potential, you know.
For sure. I mean, there's, you know, they did trade LaVine away, but, you know, it seemed like the choice was eventually going to be LaVine or Wiggins, and, you know, they obviously giving up LaVine off a torn knee for Butler was a no-brainer. Now that Butler comes in and Wiggins and him are really the same position, it still opens up that door. It'll be interesting to see how they do. And, you know, maybe they don't do as well as people think this year. And if they barely make the playoffs or, or miss it somehow, then I definitely could see something big happening next offseason. I mean, Butler has 2 years left on his deal. I mean, if they struggle this year, he probably won't want to sign next offseason, and they'll have that looming over their heads. It's
right.
It's actually quite a big year for them as a franchise. I mean, it's been, what's it, 10 years since they made the playoffs? Something
yeah,
like that?
The KG
So.
All right, so back then, remember when KG and Steph were together? They did a, I think it was an ESPN commercial. So it was Steph and KG, and they went like this. They said, like, ESPN magazine, something, blah, blah, blah. It's all new. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I'm going to have to get on YouTube and find it. If I do, I'll put it in the post.
Yeah, you should do it, because my buddy and I, we used to always laugh at it, because, hey, you don't know if it's, is it all new? Are they saying all nude? Is it both? that one always cracks me up. But, yeah, that always broke my heart that they broke that up. Or Steph actually kind of ruined that whole thing, because that was so fun to watch. But
sure.
Yeah, sorry about that tangent.
No, you're good. I mentioned it earlier. Hayward went to the Celtics after making everyone drag out their 4th of July after he's not going.
Yeah.
He hasn't decided yet. He needs 6 hours to write his 2,100-word Player Tribune piece instead.
Right. Well,
first off,
did you become a Jazz fan?
My uncle is, just because he was a Gonzaga fan.
Okay.
Rooted for Stockton and just stuck with it. So
okay.
Basically in the family.
Nice.
So I'm not burning my jersey. That's not my style.
But so, you're upstate New York right now, right?
I am. Buffalo, New York.
Born and raised. So how did your uncle become that? Okay.
Yeah, it's just how it is. I don't know. Just another team that I root for that doesn't have a title. But so he goes to Boston. He's the second option there now instead of the first. They have him and all of these wings. I mean, Brown, Tatum. They're going to trade one, or if not more, of Crowder, Bradley, and Smart. That's There's smart. Talks yeah, right now that. Of. Yeah, possibly doing a sign and trade with Utah.
Yeah.
They have to dump salary somewhere, no matter what they do.
For sure.
They would be 300K short if they traded or waived Rozier, Demetrius Jackson, and left not Zizic, the other guy they drafted in the first round last year, whose name I'm blanking on, plays in Turkey.
Yeah.
If they left him overseas, they still would end up short. So they have to move one of those guys.
Right.
But, you know, for Hayward's fantasy value, I don't see much of a change at all. He is what he is. It's a very fine player. I mean, he ended up 33rd in total value in the player rater last year. It's when missing 9 games. He's improved literally every single year of his career. It's not really great in any category, but it's just a very nice glue guy for you to take in the 4th round, I would say, probably in a 12-man league. You know, looking at his total line from last year, 47%, which was great. Elite free throw rate, 22-5-4 with, you know, a steal. The blocks have basically disappeared, but it's solid for sure. And
you know, people are gonna reach for him though.
Yeah, I expect that too. I mean, I don't think it hurts Isaiah. I don't think it hurts Horford. It actually hurts the two rookies. So. We're going to finish up with some rookie talk. Yeah, or not two rookies. It hurts Tatum a bit, I think, a little.
Yeah.
And Brown, too, depending on maybe those guys play more at power forward, too. And Brown did play some there last year.
Yeah.
But I think it caps their upside a little bit in my mind. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's have you seen the way Tatum's been playing, by the way?
I've been reading on Twitter. It's a lot of... I've seen some very good dunks for sure.
Yeah.
It seems he lacks a little bit of when he's contested at the rim. But it's something. It's just a big adjustment. You're just going against better guys now, and you know the upside is definitely there for him.
He looks pretty good. But sorry. Back to what you were saying.
No, you're fine. He's
gonna. You know, he's definitely gonna stunt. You know, the opportunities for those guys. Yeah.
I mean, who would you try to move if you were them? You have Smart, who's got 1 year left till he's a restricted free agent. You have Bradley, who's 1 year from unrestricted. And then you have Crowder, who signed for 3 years at a cheaper deal. But I can't, unless one of them's playing the four, I can't see him sliding down or Hayward sliding down to shooting guard. It seems like the Jazz, if they do a sign and trade, that it would be for Crowder. I don't know. If you were Boston, would you try to – which one of those guys would you want to keep? Would you want to pay Avery Bradley
$20 million
in 4 years? Yeah. I would too.
Yeah. Bradley, out of that group, I mean, I don't know if I would want to pay Bradley $20 million, but out of that group, I would – you know, out of those three, I would want to keep Bradley.
Right.
And then probably Crowder, then Smart would probably be the
I think I'd lean that way too. Yeah. I mean, the thing is – they have to keep Bradley or Smart in my mind, because when you have Isaiah, he can't defend.
He needs size,
Right, so you need someone there. I'm kind of with you on Bradley. He can be a low-volume guy and just defend his ass off, basically. Yeah. And he had a great year for fantasy last year, too.
Yeah, he's a baller. He's a baller. Here's one question I have for you, though, back to the Hayward.
Okay. All
right, so I think mostly I agree with you that it's pretty much, you know, going to be the same for him. But the one thing that I keep thinking of is, you know, Utah played at the slowest pace last year, right?
That's and very true.
So Boston is, I think they were top 12, top 15, something like that. So, like, that increase in pace, do you think, you know, that could help him out in that way or not?
I guess that would be where the upside is. I mean, at the end of games, you know, Utah, the way they played, they just moved the ball around constantly. They passed the ball more than any team in the league, and not in terms of assists, but just in sheer passes of the ball.
Yeah.
So in Boston, the spread out offense, he's going to get plenty of open looks too. And, you know, he had his best year, not counting his rookie year where he didn't play too much. Last year, he shot almost 40% from three. And a lot of those are on pull ups from, you know, the not even the corners, the midsection. That's just his spot. And while Isaiah will have the ball more than anyone did on Utah, it was honestly Hayward has the ball more than anyone, even more than George Hill when he played. But he probably will get some easier baskets. It will be a faster pace. So that would be where the upside is. I actually think maybe the rebounding can go up a little bit. He finished with 5.4 last year. Horford's not a good rebounder for a center, especially when you compare him to Gobert or Favors in there. And if they go with some smaller lineups, say they do trade Crowder,
right?
I mean, Hayward's probably going to be their second best rebounder on the floor. So I could actually see that going into the sixes, not like a huge jump, but something that could make a little bit of a difference.
You think they're going to put play a lineup with Hayward at the four? And Horford at the five?
I could see it. I mean, or, you know, depending on how you want to say, like, whether it's him or Jaylen Brown at the four.
Right.
I could see those three being out there with Isaiah and Bradley.
That'd be pretty nasty.
For sure. I mean, they can switch, you know, two through five, probably, or at least two through four.
Yeah.
You know, and teams in the regular season, they just, it's not like the playoffs where they just target Isaiah over and over again. Like, teams in the regular season just don't do it. So, I mean, I feel pretty confident that they'll be a 55 to 60 win regular season team again.
Right.
You know, they have decent depth still, you know, especially even if a wing got hurt, like, so Tatum's got to play a little more as a rookie.
Yeah.
He seems the kind of guy who can, who'd be all right.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't hurt him too much.
Their depth is insane.
Right. I even losing, you know, Olynyk or Jarebko, Amir Johnson, it is, and it's not going to really hurt them.
Yeah.
From Utah's perspective, this really opens up opportunity for Rodney Hood, who just had a lost year last year with a lot of injuries and lacking confidence at times. But, you know, whether they get crowded, there was talks in the meeting with James Johnson. If they don't sign anyone, Hood is going to be the number one scoring option. You look at who they're going to start, and Rubio's not a scorer. Gobert is solely a role guy.
Right. Donovan Mitchell? No Donovan Mitchell?
I really like him.
I like him too.
He'll play some, but I don't think he'll be 12 or worthy by any means.
Yeah.
But in Favors, it really depends on his health too. Right. So, I mean, Hood is the upside. He could post a line similar to what Wiggins did in my mind. Now, it would be with more threes and a worse field goal percentage. I mean, Hood's not going to shoot 45% because it's going to be more threes.
Right.
And it'll be a Wiggins-like in the sense that four rebounds and 2 to 3 assists and a steal and no, like, literally no blocks.
Yeah.
It's going to be very points-heavy, or, you know, they say Dragunov, you know, all threes and not much else.
Right.
But the upside is there for that. And again, Favors, he's a better
shooter. Yeah, he's a better shooter.
Right. So. Right, and Favors was a guy who was a top 30 to at least 40 player forever, and, you know, the injuries last year were brutal. It's a contract year. If he can stay healthy now, you know, they don't really have any alternatives. Dial is an unguaranteed contract that they're still deciding whether they want to keep him or not.
Right.
They traded Lyles to get Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Jeff Whitney's a free agent who was the backup to Gobert. They don't really have many other options. It's really just Joe Johnson. True. Who played a lot of power forward there.
What did you think of the Ingles contract?
I mean, adding a fourth year is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a very good player.
Yeah.
He's a solid glue guy. He defends his ass off. He was, like, third in the league in three-point percentage.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. Obviously, it seems, you know, he's the funniest guy in the world, too. You follow him on Twitter. He's so funny. Yeah. And he's good friends with Hayward, and I think that might have been part of why they were willing to do the 4 years. But
right.
I don't know. I'm okay with it. It's not great. It's not horrible. I mean, last year he could have gotten what Alan Crabb did or one of those other contracts. That's 13 true. Million in this marketplace. It's not the end of the world, I suppose. They're another team, like you said, they're grinding it out. You know, Rubio, he had an unreal last 6 weeks of the season. I'm not sure if that's sustainable in any means, but
yeah.
If anything, it actually might get Gobert an extra basket or two on just easy dunks.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, on the other hand, teams could just sag off Rubio and make him make that floater, but
right.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they do. I think they could still fight for the last playoff spot or two,
right,
depending on how they fill out the roster, but man, the West is going to be brutal. I mean, they're really the only two teams who I think just have no shot are the Suns and the Lakers. I mean, even, you know, if things clicked for the Pelicans, it's not impossible that, you know, with those three guys now, you know, with Holiday, Cousins, and Davis, that they could sneak in there if it just worked out.
Right.
It really wouldn't shock me. Denver's going to take a jump. Minnesota's taking a jump. Who else is in that? Sacramento, I guess, would surprise me. We can talk about them now, too. I really like De'Aaron Fox, but they bring in George Hill, who can actually play next to him just fine.
Yeah.
That was what Utah's plan was for a lot of last year, but Hill was hurt. But when he played, he was basically only a point guard. But they bring in Zach Randolph, reunited with Jaeger, and George Hill comes in for, I believe it was 357. I don't know how you feel about any of these guys on Sacramento, because I like a decent amount of them individually, and I'm just not sure it's going to work. The one guy I like De'Aaron Fox quite a bit, but for redrafts, I think Hill just killed most of his value, if not all of it.
For sure. You think Fox's jumper is going to be sufficient enough, or is it going to be like a Rondo?
I think in time it will be. I don't
– Okay.
I mean, it's a cheap comparison because he went to Kentucky and he's super fast. To John Wall, too, whose jumper has got to the point where it's still below average, but it's not –
True.
You know, it's passable, I guess. I think Fox could probably get to that point.
Okay.
It's hard to say. It's one of those things where at least now they can ease him in a little bit to play Hill next to him. So,
right.
You know, if things are going rough, you can play off the ball a little bit.
What about his physical stature? You think he's too slight of frame, like to take it to the rack all the time or not?
That would be the one worry in my mind, but man, he's just so fast.
He's crazy. Yeah, he's crazy. So here's my question, though. Like, all right, so at first, like, before the Hill and the Randolph signing, you know, the pieces that they had, you were kind of thinking, like, all right, we're going to increase the pace and just kind of run and gun, you know, Sun style or whatever. But then now, with the Hill and the Randolph, like...
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it's like, I don't understand. Is there, like, some sort of, like, philosophical, like, you know, infighting are there? Because, like, what style are they playing, you know?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because... I mean, Hill, you can see him a little bit occasionally pushing the pace, but with Randolph, it's just not going to work. And, you know, a guy who I really liked was Scale Abissier, and he finished the season really well. But now, is that going to cut into his minutes with Randolph being there? Probably. I don't really know how that's going to work. But, I mean, He played 18 and a half minutes a game last year, and was, you know, if he played 30 minutes, we'd be looking at a guy who's at a steal and a block.
Yeah,
I like his upside for sure. But now, I mean, they have them guys, Cauley Stein, still have Costa Kufis signed, who I'm sure will play some minutes at center. They got Papa G, who they drafted like 10th last year, hasn't played. That's now great. You add in, you know, Harry Giles, who probably won't play much at all this year. They got so many young pieces now, and then they signed these guys, and I don't know it. They'll probably be okay enough, but at the end of the day, they'll probably finish in the low 30s and wins again. I don't know. They're not. It's going to stop them from being horrible, but they also. Oh no! Next year they have their first. The year after Philly has their first, so I don't really know what their plan is. But at least I like a lot of the young guys they brought in, which is more than you can say for the first years of Lottie Divac in charge.
Right. Yeah. No. It's. You know, they'd be a fun, you know, NBA 2K team to play with, I guess. But, you know, from an NBA standpoint, like, I just don't understand their vision, you know, their direction.
No, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I'm a big George Hill fan. You know, again, the injuries, he's missed a lot of two of the last three seasons.
Yeah.
But he shot 48% last year, 40% from three.
Yeah, he's solid. He is solid.
Yeah, he's two threes a game. He's got a 6'10 wingspan so he can defend everyone. It's just it's a solid line in for fantasy. If he's your third point guard, you're doing very well. It's just a weirdly constructed team that I'm not really sure. What, like you said, I don't really know what the direction they're. Yeah. I mean, for this year alone, at least, like, what are their goals? What do they want to do? Who's gonna be the main guys? What, you know, whatever. They also they got Justin Jackson too in the draft.
Yeah,
and they had three firsts. So it's just a lot of questions. For
So like even like in their draft, it's like it's kind of weird, right? So like Fox is kind of a no brainer for them, right? But then
for sure,
yeah, like Justin Jackson is like, you know, high floor, low ceiling guy, like, you know, kind of guy that, you know, I guess if you needed to have him play, he can play, but it's like kind of meh, right? But then, you know, then you go Harry Giles, which is like all upside.
Shoot the moon. No,
so it's like, what are they doing? Like, there's no just like cohesiveness in their thinking. It's just like a schizophrenic, you know, front office or something. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I really like the draft, and now it's just like, they got a decent deal for Hill, and I guess the contract's not too bad for Randolph. Given 2 years to a 35-year-old is not great, but so you got, you know, Garrett Temple played all right for them at times last year. Buddy looked decent, I guess. And then they got Bogdanovich, who seems like he's going to be a Thragnoff too for fantasy purposes.
Right.
But another guy in the wing that they got, and man, I don't know. it's just a weird mishmash of players, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think
Jaeger's going to have to get his money's worth figuring out how he's going to. Speaking of guys who got money, albeit for just 1 year, the last big move was J.J. Redick just tweeting out, trust the process, to announce he went to Philly. And I think he's a great fit for them.
Definitely.
I'm rooting for – I just think Embiid is hilarious and – they need his spacing, and we talked about before we recorded.
Yeah,
you know, Simmons not going to be able to shoot basically. And
that's my concern. That's my concern with that team. You know, like,
it's going to be tough. No matter who they, you know, the Covington was his. You know, I think they're going to use the rest of their cap space, or at least try to renegotiate and extend because they have him for like $1 million only. If they gave him an extra 12-15, and he's going to be a free agent. If they gave him $12 million extra right now, and then to do an extension, you know, maybe that would be something they could convince him to do.
Right.
But you know, he shot 33%. He was down from three this year, but 2 years before 35 and 38%. So, you know, he's their best 3-point shooter,
he's gonna get a lot of open looks.
Right. Yeah. And Redick too. I mean, Redick's a guy who he does all this running around, but. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, they're actually going to be running plays, and he's going to be taking 8 threes a game if they get what they want. I mean, his career high is 6, which he did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Redick end up making three. I don't want to go to 3.5 threes a game, but over three threes a game, and combine that with, you know, 90% from the line. Again, it's literally almost nothing else. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's going to score, yeah, let's say, 16, 17 points, but you're just basically getting a blank in rebounds, assists, steals, blocks.
Right, right.
You know, but if that's what you need, and he's a guy at least that you could hold on your bench and stream him, I think it could be great. And again, there's no downside for Philly if it doesn't really work out that well for whatever reason. It's only a 1-year deal, and they can let him go.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just tough. I mean, you're looking at, so Fultz, Redick, Simmons, Covington, Embiid is your lineup with Sarge.
Yeah.
TLC, and
yeah, they got some talent. They got talent.
Yeah, and Jared Bayless, who actually Jared Bayless was a nice signing they made last year, and he never ended up playing a game because he got hurt in the preseason.
Yeah.
He can play off the ball too, and he's basically a poor man's George Hill. Right. It wouldn't shock me if he played a decent amount.
Is Okafor? Okafor's gone, right? They're going to trade Okafor, right?
Oh, we forgot. I would think so. I forgot Rashawn Holmes too, who I actually like a bit too.
He's good.
So yeah, I would think Okafor is going to be gone. But again, if you're only going to get like a second round pick back, I think you're probably better off just keeping him then. I don't know. Unless he's going to be like a malcontent about it, then I guess you could let him go for a second or something. But at the same time, with Embiid's question marks, Simmons, a lot of guys who've been hurt a lot.
Oh, I forgot they got Amir Johnson, too.
That's right. They did sign him for 1 year. He looked kind of shot to me for Boston down last year. Yeah. But another guy to mentor the young guys for 1 year. So, now again, it's a good way to have the cap space, or to open up cap space for next year. You just give these guys 1 year deals, and you know, next year's free agency class, I don't think a lot of teams are going to have money because all these teams spent money last year.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of teams got new guys in on the max this year that if you do have cap space next year, I'm not expecting them to be able to convince, say, George or Westbrook or LeBron or anyone to go there like that. But the teams who miss out on them, they'll have money to get someone in there. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm rooting for Philly to finally have a good year push for the playoffs. It wouldn't, it really just depends on health.
The health, for sure. I'm just thinking right now, like, okay, so during the draft process, like, all the stuff was about, you know, Fultz, like, he's, like, his IQ off the ball was, like, just super high, like, in terms of reading defenses, running, you know, defenders off screens. And so you put him on one side, and then you have Redick, who's really good at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have him on the other side, and then you have Embiid. Like, man, there's going to be just so much space. Like, it's going to be so – like, how are you gonna defend that? How are you going to defend all that? It's
Embiid was just unreal. Just is just sick how good his feet are. Just everything about him, he's just a crazy human being, just as big as he is. And, you know, averaging 20 points in 25 minutes a game was unreal. And he shot 37% from three, too.
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Rooting for him to stay healthy.
I hope he stays healthy. Yeah.
It's early to say, but where do you rank him, man? He seems like the hardest guy, one of the hardest guys on anyone to rank because,
I mean,
like, 2.5 blocks of steal is like, it's so crazy. I mean, the turnovers are super out of control for a big man, but literally everything else is plus.
Yeah, I mean, per minute, you know, he's up there, right? But it's just a matter of, you know, how many minutes, you know, that he's going to get. And I think that's a legitimate, like, you definitely have to factor that in because, you know, they're not going to give him the full load. So it's just a matter of
I'm sure they're still going to limit his minutes. They'll still probably give him the occasional game off. But, I mean, what he did last year in 25 minutes, if you got those 25 minutes over 75 games, I mean, let me keep talking about him. He's unreal. I want to see where he is on a per game basis in fantasy last year. It's probably through the roof.
He's got to be one of the top. Yeah. But okay, while you're looking for that, let me hear your thoughts on Simmons.
Okay, he was 37th per game last year. That's not per 36. It's probably higher.
Right.
I'll check that. I mean, Simmons. I love the idea of him. Like, when you watch him, it's kind of like Jokic in the passing sense, where it's just like he sees everything and he's bigger than everyone.
Right.
And just it seems so easy to him, but if you can't shoot at all,
yeah, that's my concern.
You're walking into problems, right? So, right. It's it's one of those things where I might not have much stock in him this year. I'll probably, you know, I want to take a shot on him in a league or two at least, probably okay. on the chance that it just clicks.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I probably want to watch, see how it goes for him to start. And I don't know if he's going to have the crazy hype around him or not. It's so hard to say a guy who didn't play at all for a year. But, man, I mean, you're talking about a guy who it could average 6-7 assists for you, maybe in your power forward spot.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Paul was that way. Or, you know, there's Jokic now and both, you know, Marc Gasol too is high in assists for a big man, but those off assists, and it's so nice where you don't have to roll a mediocre point guard just to chase assists when you have him. But if he can't shoot free throws or he can't shoot period, how effective is it going to be? I mean, a lot of people, you know, Draft Express and a lot of people who pay way more attention than me, they really like his upside. And I can't really argue. I mean, he's 6'10", and a lot of the stuff he can do is unreal. So, I don't know.
You think Lamar Odom's
I actually think that's a really good comp.
That's something like I always think that.
Yeah, no, I mean, most people forget, like, how hyped up and how good, like, how good Odom could have been, but how good he actually was, too. Yeah.
I have his page up right now. So, his second year, 17 points per game, 1.6 blocks, 7.8 rebounds, 5.2 assists. Again, his free throw shooting was terrible, like 68%, right. But he shot 30% from threes, 46% from the field. Wow. This is everything. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, being a Jazz fan, I remember all the times where the Lakers won those titles with Powell and Bynum, and then it was actually always Odom that killed him for whatever reason. Like, he made Carlos Boozer irrelevant, which later on that's not much to say, but when Boozer was at his peak, he was scoring with as good as almost any power forward, not named Dirk and Duncan, and Odom just always destroyed them. I think that's actually a great comp.
Yeah,
and you're right. I mean, those assists, if you can get something like that from Simmons, and I brought up his page now, and it's only a 25 game sample from his third season where he shot 42%. You know, that might be what Simmons does, but if you're getting those other categories, it's a nice glue guy. It's just, man, ranking them and deciding where you want to take them is going to be really difficult with all these guys.
For him, the minutes are going to be – so in terms of projections, where would you project in terms of minutes for him?
Oof, mid-20s?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, Saric is probably going to end up playing more than him, even if he doesn't start,
right.
I think.
Right. So Saric,
Amir Johnson will get some token minutes probably too.
Right.
Because I don't think he's going to get DMPs, you know, and I assume the center minutes are going to be strictly Embiid and Rashawn Holmes. You know, whether Okafor is there or not, I think that will be the case. So you're looking only at power four. I don't know. See, because that's the weird thing, right? They have the ability to just play Simmons at, like, small forward, but be their de facto point guard on the court, too. Brett Brown's really going to have some interesting lineups, too. They have just so many guys that are interesting pieces, which, granted, you know, they should for being so bad as long as they were. But we're finally starting to see it piece together.
Yeah, it's great. Do you think Saric gets undervalued?
It's possible. I mean, he wasn't great at anything really last year. It's only, like, you know, 26 minutes. He shot only 41%. He made 1.3 threes. The rebounding is actually really good for it depends if he's going to have the power forward eligibility or small forward. Probably power forward.
Right.
So at that point, it's not really great anywhere. It seems like a guy – in a head-to-head league, he's, like, a streamer or maybe, like, the last guy you're holding on to play – I think a lot of his value will come from if one of the other guys gets hurt.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. It's a good point. Yeah.
I guess the last thing before wrapping up is, you know, we mentioned Fultz. If you want to include Simmons in it because he's going to be a rookie, or the other rookies, what players from this last draft do you like most, either or both, in terms of just this upcoming season for redrafts or in dynasties?
Yeah, I mean, when you sent me that question, it was like a, you know, like you play poker, right? It was an I just shoved my chips in. It was an insta call, just Dennis Smith. Like, you know, I just love that guy. And, you know, you responded back and you're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I could easily see him being, I mean, he has the upside to be the best player in this draft. Like, he's that type of talent. Yeah. I wouldn't go that far, but I could easily see it turning out being like the third best player. And for fantasy this year, I think he could be the best rookie. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I agree.
A bit much, but
yeah, he's going to have the most usage. Right. I think, yeah, he's going to be the guy, I guess.
It's him or Ball, right, for this year?
Yeah, I love Ball, and I'm a Laker fan, but I do think that Smith, I think he's going to have higher usage.
I would lean that way, too.
Yeah, I mean, the pace that LA is going to play is going to be in Ball's favor for sure. Because, you know, Dallas is really
– Yeah, Dallas was surprisingly slow last year.
Yeah, but I mean – you know, what Seth Curry's gonna probably man the two, right? And then he's still got Dirk. So they're gonna space the floor out. So there's gonna be a ton of seams for him. And right. like
Yeah, you know, Wesley Matthews too.
Yeah, yeah, they got shooters. So, you know, like I told you, he reminds me a lot of Stevie Franchise. And so like if there's seams there and there's shooters around him, I think he's gonna be able to pretty much break down you know, most of the guys out there. So
right. I mean, if he's playing even 30 minutes, he's a guy who could push two steals a game, too. He's got that type of ability.
For sure.
And like you said, the assists will certainly be there. He shot 36% from three in college. So even if he's in the low 30s for the first year, he'll be over a three a game. Again, it'll be decent enough. And he actually rebounded quite well. He had 4.6 rebounds last year. And, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but you know, I could see it working out. I mean, in a dynasty, I think I would be taking Fultz first, probably Ball second, and then Smith. It's tough to say. I mean, for redrafts, though, I really like Smith, and the opportunity is there. I mean,
I'm with you.
I don't know. I don't know how popular of a guy it's going to be. He's going to be, and it's obviously way too far ahead. But no one's put out rankings yet to know. But
right,
he would again. He's another guy. If he's your third point guard, I would be ecstatic. And you know, maybe with him, they push the ball a little more when Dirk's not on the floor or something. And
that's a good point. A good point. Gives him more flexible versatility. Yeah.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. What about Malik Monk? I'm sorry. I loved him.
No. Again, he might just end up being a Thragnoff, but there's also the chance he could become C.J. McCollum, which would be pretty unreal. Okay. I mean, again, McCollum's another guy who had an unreal year last year. I mean, he shot 48% from the field with all, you know, his three-point volume, too, on top of 90% from the line. I mean, Monk, he's got the ability to just take over games. And
yeah, he's a ball.
But next to Kemba, I actually think, like, I kind of like them getting Dwight, especially because they didn't give up anything at all for him.
True.
I'm trying to think of who they have on their depth chart. I'm bringing it up now. Who's going to stop Monk from playing a decent amount of minutes right off the bat? I don't
know. There's, you know, they could put Batum at the two.
I guess that's true. Yeah, they don't seem to like Lamb too much.
True. Why did they pick up Carter Williams, MCW?
I don't know. It's just a bad fit to me. I mean, again, it was 1 year for what, like $2.5 million.
Yeah.
It didn't really cost him anything. But I'd rather have someone better to, you know, when you play him there, you kind of have to have Batum out there with him now. You have to stagger him. I don't know. I'd rather have like a bland point guard who can at least just shoot somewhat. You know, like I wouldn't want to play him next to Kemba at all.
I agree.
So I'd rather just have like Shelvin Mack or just generic backup point guard who can.
Right.
Somewhat shoot than deal with them. I mean, I guess for the price, it's okay. They really don't have much cap space after they maxed out Batum and, you know, Gilchrist has got a decent contract, Zeller, Kemba. But, yeah, it's just it was kind of weird. That was one I didn't necessarily see coming for sure.
Yeah, that's strange. They must have been like – I don't know. MCW must have been playing poker with Jordan on one of the rivals somewhere, and probably got him.
He owned
You know,
him.
yeah, he got him. Like, yo, if I win this hand, you sign me. So that, I mean, that's the only logical, explanation I can come up with.
But yeah, I would expect. I could see Monk coming in and averaging 2 threes a game right off the bat, and I could see him being worth the flyer in a 12-man league as one of your last couple picks just to see how it turns out. Again,
sure.
I don't think it's going to be great necessarily,
right.
But the 3-point volume, I could see him being a good enough shooter even in the mid-range and getting to the rim that his field goal percentage isn't going to hurt you either.
Right.
It really depends on his shot selection, but I assume they'll keep him in check. I mean, he shot 50% on twos at Kentucky last year. I don't know if it'll be that good necessarily. And he did chip in a half a block and a steal there. If it's around the same, it'd be pretty good. Yeah, I mean, the fit is perfect for him. Yeah. Honestly, I don't think he could have went anywhere better. Falling to 11,
I thought Philly would have been perfect.
Philly, yeah, you're right. No, you're definitely right. Philly's perfect pick, but once they traded up, I don't think they could have took him at three either. They would have to trade back.
That's
back
true.
To
that's
five
true. Trade
or something,
down.
But,
trade down. All right. So I know Ray Allen was a lot bigger. But I feel like Monk reminds me of Ray Allen in many ways. Am I off here? Am I crazy or no?
I guess that would probably be best case.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible. I mean, I don't want to talk him down at all because I do really like him. I mean, I like the fit and, he's can take over at any time, man. I mean, I think. I guess worst case would be like Lou Williams, who's a very fine player in his own right. I could see him being
no doubt
at least that, and like I said, I kind of McCollum or maybe even like Bradley Beal,
that's someone. A good one. Like, Beal's good.
You know, there's a lot of guys who he's just that explosion he has is just unreal, and just it can come out of nowhere, and it's just nice that for Charlotte they have that option of a guy who can just all of a sudden just out of nowhere. Just gets super hot, and now they have a few guys that are like that, and they're an interesting team. And like I said, I don't love Dwight Howard by any means, but considering they gave up, Miles Plumlee was an atrocious contract anyway, and Bellinelli, and they flopped seconds. I mean, it's worth it to me. Just see if it works. Why not?
You like Kid Gilchrist?
He's one of those guys who just makes me wanting more, and. Just can't stay healthy, and it's infuriating. But at the same time, like, defensively, he's very solid. If not, I don't want to say quite elite.
Yeah.
But he's up there for sure. And, it sucks to, for spacing now, if you're playing Dwight and him.
Yeah.
It works out because you have Kemba, Batum, and Monk. But, you can't play, say, Zeller at the four and then Kid Gilchrist, now you're just clogged. And, if you're doing it on the second unit, I'm sure Clifford's a really good coach, I think. And they'll get some minutes with Kaminsky and him, and they'll figure out some way to make it work.
Yeah, they have some pieces. They do.
Yeah, I mean, given they're in the East, I would probably bet on them making the playoffs at this point. Okay. Again, it's far out. And, they were 48-win team. And last year they Cody Zeller injury of all people, when they played him at center, they were really good last year, and him going down gutted them. But
they would run a lot of plays for Zeller.
He's surprisingly pretty good, actually, better than I thought he was going to be.
Right.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Bam Adebayo, he's been balling. I've seen in the summer league.
My thing with him is I can't see him playing next to Whiteside. So at least to start, he's only going to be playing like 15 minutes.
Okay.
But he seems like those 15 minutes, like his per 36s are going to be off the charts. Like he's going to be like super high energy, going crazy in that time. And if Whiteside did go down, I could see him being, fairly decent again. Like he can move. He's already, he's 243 pounds now, according to Draft Express. He's he's not going to get pushed around, and Whiteside's not the most dependable guy in the world.
Yeah.
So
who plays power forward for the Heat right now? Is it James Johnson?
He's a free agent. I'm reading they're trying to bring him back.
Okay.
I don't even know who else they have.
I see Nick Roberts. I see Nick Roberts and Babbitt.
Oh, God.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Can you know? I mean,
could they play Justice Winslow there? Maybe some. I don't think they want to do it all the time, but maybe some of the time. Because they could play Dragic, Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Winslow, Whiteside if they wanted to, I guess.
Yeah,
they did actually re-sign Waiters today, too.
I saw that. Waiters Island.
he got paid. I was surprised he got 4 years. To be fair, you know, maybe it's just going to be a good place for him. I mean, he flamed out in Cleveland, and, you know, it ended up being okay at times and for the Thunder, but mostly last year for the Heat. He was unreal, and I just – his Players Tribune article would have been, like, the best thing I've ever read. It's just the confidence he has is
off the charts. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Waiters Island. All right, what else we got? What else we got here? I guess that's it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else in the draft who stood out to me. I mean, all the guys at the top. I mean, this is just a really good draft, and I really like Jonathan Isaac. I don't know.
I like him too.
It's probably going to take a while, and I don't know if it'll ever be that good in fantasy. But it'll be interesting to see. I guess for redrafts in deeper leagues, John Collins, who played at Wake Forest, who's on Atlanta now, and they lost Millsap.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy. He's
probably going to get decent minutes, and it might just be like Zach Randolph, or just like points, rebounds, and not really anything else. But there's some value that in deep leagues, and I mean, we talked about the Bulls trade, but what do they have left? Like, are any – like, Markkanen might play. Mirotić is a restricted free agent right now. We don't know if he'll be back. Like, who are they – who's going to get the usage? I guess it's going to be Dwayne Wade if he's still there, but I got to think by the end of last year he's going to get bought – or by the end of next year he's going to get bought out.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. Like, that Bulls team is just going to be a mess for a fan. Like, there's going to be random games where – like Robin Lopez goes off, or like
free Bobby Portis.
Right, like they have to find like at least 85 to 90 points somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know where it's like. Maybe they're gonna play Chris Dunn a lot, and you know, he just looked so bad last year, and that's not good when you're already 23 years old.
Yeah, well, I saw some rumblings about that guy. He's overseas. Some guy, Teo Dulcich. Is that how you pronounce
his name? Oh, yeah, yes.
I mean, he's pretty awesome, but he's 30 years old.
Right. He is a complete zero on defense. Like, yeah. He would probably be a fairly good fantasy asset. he's going to have the ball. Like, again, LaVine, he tore his knee in February, so even if he makes the beginning of the year for the first month, he's probably going to get eased in.
Right.
So, like, where is this usage going to go? Is it going to go like Denzel Valentine, Jerry and Grant, like, traded for Cameron Payne? Like, I don't know.
Justin Holliday. That was a good signing, the Justin Holliday.
That's actually, that's not bad for what they paid him. Like, he was actually pretty good for the Knicks. Yeah, like, they have all these guys, and I just have no idea where they're going to find 90 points in this usage. Like, it's a lot of guys who've never really done much. Like, Robin Lopez is a super low usage guy, and none of these other guys have done much at the NBA level as a team.
It looks like a team that's going to be fun to attack in DFS.
Yes, that's a very good point. I mean, who's a good defender besides Robin Lopez?
I don't see anyone.
He's not a great rebounder for center. I mean, he's a decent guy, but like Wade doesn't try at all. Like Chris Dunn, he's good defensively, but like. Valentine Port, like they're just a team full of guys who are gonna just get worked. I think.
That team
is gonna be bad. Like, there's no way around it.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, so you know, I guess it kind of ties in with the Sacramento thing. Like, you either be really bad, like Philly, trust the process, or you try to compete, right? But don't be in the middle. That's the worst thing to do. So at least
Chicago, I think the Kings. I think they could bottom out with this roster. It could be really bad.
But it's like as if they're kind of trying not to for some reason. I don't get it. Whereas the Bulls are like, we suck. Like, we're gonna be the
Right,
worst.
yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. Like the Kings are probably in a spot where they're going to finish like seventh last. And what good is it really
Yeah,
going to
what's
do?
the point,
For the yeah, you're right. I mean the Bulls, I mean not many, I mean
Yeah, they're gonna be
Brooklyn's
bad.
worse. There's
They're gonna
not
be
many teams
bad.
that are worse though. This roster is pretty ugly.
They're gonna be bad. And I guess that kind of ties into the two guys next year. That dude, Michael Porter and what's that guy other guy's name?
Luka
Doncic. Oh,
Doncic,
I saw clips. They both are awesome. They are both amazing. So
yeah. I
maybe
mean
that's the
those.
plan, right? Just get one of those guys and then
I would imagine. I mean, you give yourself the best chance too. And there's, I know there. I was listening to a podcast with Jonathan Givony, who runs Draft Express, and he said like the top 5 to 7 guys in this draft are pretty great too. And it's a lot of big guys, which is kind of weird considering like how the league is going. But hell, I mean everyone, I'm excited to watch Porter
Yeah,
and
he's
Masai
awesome.
now. And like you said, Doncic, I mean he's playing for one of the best teams overseas, and he's probably going to start playing more minutes too. And yeah, it's man, NBA offseason's always
Wow, it's just
exciting.
crazy. This is
It really is.
like you said in the intro, it's been one of the crazier ones in a long time,
Oh
at least that I
yeah,
can remember.
this
So,
is. I mean, like last year was crazy in its own way because all these teams had cap space, and it's like, oh, Joakim Noah, $72 million, and Mozgov, all this crazy money. But this is just like three of the best. I don't know, six or seven small forwards switch teams between Butler, George, and Hayward. Paul switch teams, and Millsap too. I mean, you're talking five of the top 20. At the worst, 25 guys in the league switching teams. It's pretty crazy. And the West is just going to be absolutely insane. Like,
So this brings me to the conversation of, why have the conferences? Just reseed after the end of the regular season, right?
I mean, I'm all for it, to
Yeah,
be
me
honest.
too.
I mean,
Like, well, is there any benefit to that, rather than just like
no,
some
I mean,
nostalgic thing, or
if no, not really. I
no,
don't
right?
see one. If they want to do it, a little. If they want to keep it for, simplicity's sake, what I would do is just the six division winners that are in, and then the top 10 other teams. If they want to do it that way instead or something, to limit travel a little bit, and so you have one extra game against, a couple other teams. So be it. It's not going to drastically change, strength of schedule and stuff. But yeah, there's just no reason for it at this point. It's kind of silly.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Nobody beats the
Well, I'm glad you're on.
That was great, man.
I'll
Yeah,
probably have a
thanks.
podcast with T-Hole next week.
All right.
But if not, starting in August, we'll be picking up more full time. You can I'll put our Twitter handles in
Okay.
the description of this post for people to follow us and all that good stuff.
Cool.
Any questions, things you want us to talk about in the future, leave it in the comment section at basketball.rasball.com. Everybody, we'll talk to you soon. Take care, and thanks for coming on, son.
No, I appreciate it. It was a great time. So, looking forward to doing it next time.
Sounds good, man. Take it easy.
All right, take it easy, this. Later.